This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Our top stories include this breaking news of the Senate report. It is a 94-page report that details what happened on July 13th at the Butler Farm show.
There's some pretty shocking stuff here. We've been able to find the highlights so people don't have to go through all 94 pages. But this is an amazing list, Larry. The Senate report says several Secret Service officials had chronic problems with their radios. One instance is a countersniper was offered a local radio but didn't have time to pick it up because he was trying to fix his own radio. And due to failures of radios in Butler, the special agent in charge gave away his radio to elite advance agents and went without one for the rest of the day.
Added on top of that, the Secret Service's drone units had, quote, technical problems, so much so that at 4:33, the Secret Service employee operating the drone system had to call a toll-free helpline for support. And the report notes the agent only had 3 months' experience working with that equipment and lacked knowledge about it.
That's the guy flying the drone.
And there were criticisms that there weren't any drones, and there weren't because there were technical issues.
And they had a guy with minimal experience, about 90 days' experience doing it. Secret Service personnel were notified about a suspicious person with a rangefinder about 30 minutes before the shooting. The lead service agent and other officials told the panel, the Senate panel, they did not get that information.
Another alert about an individual on the roof of a building was sent by radio from a local law enforcement officer to the Secret Service 2 minutes before the shooting. This was followed by another alert that the individual was armed, but the message was not relayed to key Secret Service personnel.
Now, this is the one that just blows my mind. A countersniper interviewed by the Senate panel described seeing local law enforcement running toward the building where Crooks was positioned. They had their guns drawn, but he did not alert Trump's protective detail because it, quote, did not cross his mind to notify someone to get Trump off the stage.
It did not cross his mind.
No kidding.
And then it goes on, and just a few more details, and there'll be a lot more about this. According to this report, countersniper teams were dispatched to Butler following, quote, credible intelligence of a threat. However, nearly all the Secret Service personnel that spoke to the committee said they were unaware of this potential threat.
My gosh, just unbelievable stuff, Larry. Also, the advance team for the Secret Service were denied additional resources and could not identify who had final decision-making authority for the event. I mean, you would automatically assume the Secret Service would have the final decision on everything to do with that event. I mean, doesn't that make sense to you?
Yeah, and Connecticut Senator Rich
Blumenthal. It's a misspell.
Oh, yeah. Even in this report, there's a misspell.
Yeah.
Who heads the Permanent Investigation Subcommittee said, quote, it was really truth being stranger than fiction. It was like an Abbott and Costello farce. Who's on first, finger pointing all the different actors.
Boy, so, what a perfect summation of that by Senator Blumenthal.
There will be an exhaustive, a detailed release of this report.
This is an interim report from a Senate committee, and we have also the House committee, the task force that's being chaired by a Butler County Republican, Kelly, Congressman Kelly.
Bipartisan group of people just trying to get to the facts. What happened that day? What went wrong and who's to blame? It sounds like the Secret Service is taking the full brunt of this report.
Well, this is not a good one.
That said, people will be talking about Vice President Kamala Harris back in Pittsburgh today. She'll release her financial plan for the future.
They say it's a major economic policy speech. And then I've got a blurb this morning that she's going to expand on what she's been calling a opportunity economy. How much detail will we get? I don't know yet.
And this is on top of former President Donald Trump's visit the previous day to Katanning in Armstrong County, Smithton in Westmoreland County, and then IUP in Indiana County.
And what was his focus for most of it? Farming and the economy.
And Helene is going to be in the news and the top of a lot of minds because we have such a relationship with Florida. Many people have friends, relatives, visits, second places, condos, thinking about the folks in the Gulf in particular. What is still Tropical Storm Helene expected to strengthen into a major hurricane and come up to the Big Bend area, which is where the panhandle begins when you go up north on the Gulf side of Florida, and then it bends to the west.
Yeah, in that area, what I'm seeing right now are hurricane warnings and flash flood warnings almost all along the western coast of Florida from Key West going all the way up to the Big Bend. So our friends are going to get a fair amount of rain, and I would imagine the storm surge might be the bigger part of this.
And that's what people are talking about on the Big K Morning Show. We are running out of September, and it's truck month at Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville on the Golden Mile, right next to their brand new Bowser Genesis dealership, by the way, which is beautiful. And they have Bowser Chevrolet in Chippewa. And I was there last week, saw over 100 trucks in stock, ready to go, from Chevy Silverado 1500. Man, I have not looked at the newer trucks lately. They're absolutely stunning. And if you're a work person, the 6500 HD, and that stands for heavy duty. I learned that. Yeah, I've got my heavy duty truck, and you can get it for the best price possible at Bowser. And the all-new Chevy Silverado EV. This is the first ever Silverado EV, and it packs a punch. Pulls up to $10,000 or 10,000 pounds of towing, 0 to 60 in under 4.5 seconds, and an estimated range on a single charge, 440 miles. But this is the big thing, 0% for 36 months through the end of September. So visit Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville or Chippewa, or go to thepowerofbowser.com. The Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Take us with you wherever you go. You can Bluetooth right to your smart speaker, your car, and it's really a cool way, no matter where you go, to stay tuned, stay in touch with KDKA.
And with my phone and the app on the phone, plus CarPlay, there's nowhere I cannot listen to our station now, either at home, on my smart TV, on my phone, wherever I'm at, or in the car.
What if people try to listen on their dumb TV? We have smart everything, artificial this, intelligence this,
I don't,
smart TV.
I'm sure I don't know what all my television can do. I barely scratched the surface of its capability. I'm positive about that.
Yeah, it's pretty natural to do what you need it to do, but there are so many other options.
Like our phones, for example.
Oh, yeah, and we have, you know, it's so easy now with this app to, you know, it used to be, we joke about it, but people used to have transistor radios. And they would take those everywhere. And now your $1,000 phone is your transistor radio, too. But it's digital quality, and it's all good. Couple of notes in sports. And we got to vet this story about Rowdy Tellez being, what do they call it when they...
Designated for assignment.
Which means what?
Fired. Demoted. Sent, you know, given they're either going to A, send him back to Indianapolis, or he has the choice that he may have the choice to not go and then just walk away.
And the reason we bring this up is because it kind of blew up on social media last night that he was four at-bats away from a $200,000 bonus.
Yeah.
And a lot of fans are just going wild.
And Cherington was asked about it and went on for quite a while about, no, this had, you know, the money had nothing to do with the decision. However, I can say this. One of the things I picked up on in the responses from fans was Tellez was a guy who was getting booed the first couple of months, and then he rallied and was coming back and making a contribution and doing fairly well. And so here's a guy that they were cheering for, and now all of a sudden, here we are at the end of another losing season, and then this happens to a team that has a reputation for being what?
Frugal.
Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good safe word.
So that's what fans are really burned up about last night.
I mean,
I saw it blow up on social media.
95% of the responses that I've read on social media to this story, 95% are negative. Jason Mackey, the sports columnist now for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, has written a very, very good article about this if you're looking for more information.
Also, another sports note, Brett Favre revealed that he has Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's, and this was, he was testifying because he's involved in a really complicated, deep case, right, about accepting money for speeches he didn't give, for money that was earmarked for the less fortunate.
Did he say that he's returned the money or that he has repaid it? I wasn't sure about what he said about that.
You know, it once he said, I have Parkinson's, it seemed like everything else stopped.
Right.
And that was the focus, and that was what was released yesterday after he addressed it. I didn't look at the details beyond that, but it's a pretty deep and complicated story of a guy who's Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl champion, and, you know, you wonder why would he get himself involved in something like
that. Well, then there was the painkiller problem back when he was playing still.
Right.
So he's had some turbulent weather in his life.
Now he's dealing with Parkinson's disease. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen. Don't have to tell you, southwestern Pennsylvania has been a frequent visiting spot for our campaignees, including former President Donald Trump, who was at Smithton in Westmoreland County on Monday, then went to Armstrong County in Katanning, then to Indiana County at IUP. And today, Vice President Kamala Harris is due in Pittsburgh. Paul, we don't have the exact details of the visit, right?
Just this afternoon, and something about the economy will be the topic. And I want to ask you this question. What's the over and under to you on the number of stops that both of these campaigns will make in the next few weeks?
Well, we know Donald Trump's going back to Butler on October 5th, and we presume there'll be other visits. Kamala Harris stayed here over the Labor Day weekend for several days. And we're joined by former Congressman, former Undersecretary of the United States Army, the 32nd, Patrick Murphy, who's from Philadelphia originally. We appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, Larry. Thanks, guys. It's great to be back on with you.
Should I call you Congressman or Undersecretary Murphy?
No, you call me Patrick. Listen, it was an honor to serve. I don't know if you know this, but I actually served in the Army and with one of the Rooneys, Tom Rooney. We were prosecutors together. We taught at West Point together, and we served in Congress together. And I was a Democrat. He's Republican. And now we're business partners. We invest in veteran-owned companies. We've invested over $75 million in 63 veteran-owned companies, which are doing great. So it's great to be with you. I'm on the other side of the state, but I enjoy my sheets just as much as I enjoy my Wawa.
Very outstanding. You know, you said something that I think will resonate with a lot of people, and that's just anecdotally the fact that you, being a Democrat, working with a Republican together in business, I think a lot of people would like to see a little more bipartisan participation in trying to move the country forward because it's so divisive right now, as you're acutely aware.
No doubt, Larry. And I think that's what people are so frustrated about. They just want to cheer for America. They want us to move our country forward when it comes to good jobs here, you know, being a great nation like we are, and just, you know, living by our values. And they're not necessarily Democratic values or Republican values. They're American values. So I'm excited about the speech today in Pittsburgh. We're going to have the vice president there. Kamala Harris has laid out her economic vision. She's saying, hey, listen, we got to invest in small businesses. 98% of the jobs out there that people are employed in are in small businesses. So it's about a $50,000 tax break, for tax write-off for small businesses. It's about, looking at here in Pennsylvania, where we have right now oil and gas production is at all-time high. We need to be investing in our natural resources at the same time investing in green energy. So it's like that all the above approach. And Ari, I'm sure you saw the news last week. They just announced that we're going to do even more nuclear energy here in Pennsylvania. We're going to reactivate part of the Three Mile Island to energize the new data center that Microsoft's building. So, things are moving, but we got to make sure we're doubling down on American jobs here in Pennsylvania and throughout our great nation.
And you mentioned the energy, and give people here in Pennsylvania, in southwestern Pennsylvania in particular, an idea. When Kamala Harris was against fracking, she has changed her mind, no doubt because the people of Pennsylvania are relying on the financial returns and the jobs it creates, this natural gas we're seated on. What about people that say, if she wins, then she'll change her mind again?
No, listen, Larry, actions speak louder than words. I learned that in the Army. I learned that, teaching at West Point. And she has delivered, her and Joe Biden have delivered when it comes to energy here in America. And the stats couldn't be more clear. Every single day, we pump out about 13.2 million barrels a day in oil. And natural gas is at an all-time high. And Pennsylvania, as you know, we're the second largest state when it comes to natural gas. When she was representing California, she did in front of president. She did say she was against it. But when she joined Joe Biden, she said, hey, listen, we have to represent all the United States. I'm for fracking. That was years and years and years ago. She has delivered time and time again. She's been on record time and time again. And we have to get after it. Why it's important is because we have this all of the above energy approach, meaning, oil, natural gas, nuclear, et cetera. But also they've invested in green energy, which are the jobs of the future here in America. And why this is important, Larry, to our national security, we need to make sure that, one, we're not relying on foreign oil. But when we look at the natural gas, Europe is dependent on Russia. Russia is not a good player. They're invading countries, Ukraine, as we know. And we have now even outsourced some of our, liquid natural gas, 140% increase over to the European countries and others. Because, we need to make sure they're not dependent on Russia. We could outsource that and invest, obviously, in jobs here in Pennsylvania and beyond.
Patrick, Paul Rasmussen here. Quick question to follow up on that. During the Biden administration, liquid natural gas exports, there's been a moratorium on increases, if I understand, new permits. Do you think that an incoming Harris administration would modify that to allow more exports of liquid natural gas?
I do, and I really do think that, I'm an Army guy, but we have a great Navy guy out there in Congressman Chris DeLuzio, who's been partnering with Bob Casey on this, and John Fetterman, saying, hey, we need to do more. I know they're reviewing this, they're looking at it, but we need to get those permits moving, and they're looking at them, and I think that's important. When people understand, we should care about our country first, obviously, right? But we're a great country. Because we're a good country. And if we can create jobs, invest in our natural resources, and then help our European allies so they can wean themselves off of their dependency on Russian natural gas, that's incredibly important to our national security, especially at a time when you have Russia and China partnering up to send shockwaves throughout the world. And that's why when you look at even jobs in, here in places like Lackawanna County in Scranton, we're making artillery shells here that we're shipping over in Scranton, that we're shipping over to Ukraine to defend themselves. Why is that important? Because in Pennsylvania and across our country, we're becoming the arsenal of democracy once again. We are telling people like Vladimir Putin, stop messing around with our allies. And when you mess with our allies, we're going to stand with them shoulder to shoulder. And we don't want unnecessary wars. We're the reluctant warrior in our country. But we will share our munitions and other things while we restock our own here in America.
Well, we will see what happens when Vice President Kamala Harris visits and hear what she has to say. And we appreciate your time this morning, Congressman Patrick Murphy. Thank you.
Larry, Paul, thanks so much. If I could ever be helpful, you let me know. God bless you guys. And I'm on social media at Patch Murphy PA, but it's going to be a great day for democracy and this economic vision here in Pittsburgh. So great to be with you guys.
This time at PPG Paints Arena on November 15th. And we've got a pair of tickets for you right now. 412-922-1020. 412-922-1020. You can call Aaron, and we'll set you up. Caller number 7, we will make you a winner. Right now, we're going to check in with Dr. Margaret Larkins Pettigrew, OBGYN, and Allegheny Health Network's Chief Clinical Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing well. And when I saw this report, which we're going to discuss, I was a little shocked in this day and age that for the first time in two decades, the infant mortality rate in the United States has risen. And the natural question is, why?
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I just have to express how grateful we are to make sure that, to tell you that this is a great platform that you've given us to talk about such an important issue. This is a public health crisis, and it's been that way for a while. But now that we've had to have the data, and we've had the data for a while, and that's one thing I want our audience to leave with today, is that we do have the data that says this is a public health crisis, that we as a country have the data to not only support that this is a major issue, but to support the fact that we can actually create solutions to this problem. And so what struck me most is that many of the deaths of our babies are secondary to mom's complications. And that's kind of what rose from this article for me, is that we really have to now turn back to how we really take care of mom so we can take care of baby.
And I think this would shock a lot of people, you know, just waking up and hearing, wait a minute, we've made such medical advances. We have such resources here in this country. How can the infant mortality rate possibly be going up after 20 plus years?
Absolutely. And I think that because we now know the root causes of some of the things that are happening in this space, it's time for our healthcare systems as well as our community partners to begin to work in concert and not in silos to actually make sure we change the direction that this is going in. And so, yes, it is a shock for all of us, but it's time for us to take action.
And what will that action be, Doctor? How can we help? What do we need to know?
First of all, doing what you're doing today is making sure that we're calling this attention to everybody, because everybody has to be on this journey to make a difference in the lives of all babies. Healthcare systems that really make sure we give quality care come together with those community partners that also work in this arena, that they take care of women every single day in many different aspects as it relates to midwifery care, care as far as our diaper banks, our milk banks, and it goes on and on, how we really take care of women in this in our communities that then will take care of our babies. Because looking at the complications that we see in our women today will make a difference if we can actually decrease those complications, will decrease the death of our babies.
And where do you direct people to get more information?
They can actually give us a call at the Allegheny Health Network, and they can call us through our DEI.org by email, and or they can just call us directly through our DEI space at Allegheny Health Network. That's the diversityequityinclusion.org at Allegheny Health Network, and we can direct them in the right directions and give them the opportunity to volunteer and help us in this space.
412 Doctors, also a good number, and AHN.org, Dr. Margaret Larkins Pettigrew, OBGYN, and we appreciate your time this morning. It's an important message. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour, we welcome Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, in studio again. And Rich, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to see you. We see getting a lot of love, I guess, from both candidates again.
Crisscross in the area.
Coming to Armstrong County, Westmoreland County, and Indiana County, former President Trump the other day, and Now, Vice President Harris coming today to give, from what we hear, is going to be a major economic speech.
Why are we so important?
Numbers. It all comes down to math. And the fact that we are the biggest with the most electoral votes as a swing state. So there are only really about a half a dozen states in the country that are actually up for grabs. Everyone knows how California is going to vote. Everyone knows how Alabama is going to vote, et cetera, et cetera. But you've got, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania kind of up in the north. North Carolina's kind of come into play a little bit along with Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. So that's about it. That's about where the election is going to be won. And the biggest prize of all is Pennsylvania.
Donald Trump said the other day when asked about, you know, doing another debate, he said, you know what, kind of I've done two. It's too late. People are starting to vote in South Dakota. I guess they already had their mail-in ballots. When do Pennsylvanians start sending in their mail-in ballots?
Typically, we'll see them early October. So I would expect in the next week or so, those ballots will come out. All of the court challenges have been adjudicated. And so the ballots are official to be done now. So that the Secretary of State has authorized that at the state level. And you'll start to see those ballots come out.
Has anything changed from 4 years ago when it comes to the mail-in ballots?
Legally, no. I think operationally, yes, because I think counties, including Allegheny, have gotten better just because of more practice. It was so brand new in 2020. You remember back then, Allegheny, and I was executive at the time, we didn't finish our counting until the end of the week.
Right.
It was Saturday morning after Tuesday. We now in Allegheny are giving results, the mail-in results, literally at 8:01, 8:02 on election night. I fully expect that on election night, Allegheny will have their numbers done. Will the other 67 counties have it done? That's to be determined.
Any guess as to when we might know? We're all assuming this is a very close race.
Yes.
And could go either way. And people want to be sure that whichever candidate gets the most votes, it's announced as soon as possible. Is it possible that we'll know the next day?
It is possible. And I think it really depends on how close. If it's within tenths of a percentage point, you're going to be counting military ballots that can kind of come in up to a week later. You're going to be counting provisional ballots that go back to a board. That takes a week or so to do. But if you get enough of a margin, right, on election day, you may be able to call it that night or the next day.
And again, that'll begin in early October here in the state of Pennsylvania. October 1st, we have a vice presidential debate on CBS. We'll be carrying that. I'll be interested to see how those two candidates battle each other. And then after that, it doesn't look like there'll be any more debates.
You never know. You never know. One thing I think we've seen with former President Trump is he often changes his mind. So if he feels like he wants to go debate and he has a lot of confidence in his ability to get his message out, he's able to do that. But that remains to be seen. If you remember even the debate that they had a couple of weeks ago, there was talk about not having it, not liking the format, turning off the microphones, not having a crowd, et cetera, all those type of things. So I think there's a lot of fluidity in what's going on. The candidates are making adjustments almost on a daily, more even on an hourly basis at this point, where they're going to visit, who's going to be up on stage with them. Just look at the North Carolina thing just a week ago. One of the biggest supporters of the president was the candidate running for governor, and he had been with them. Then the story comes out about him and some of the past comments he made. All of a sudden, the former president goes to North Carolina. The governor candidate's nowhere to be seen. So these things happen, and it happens on both sides.
There's usually an October surprise, but it seems like we've had a lot of surprises here in the last few months.
I think we're surprised.
I don't know what else could happen.
The biggest surprise would be there no surprise, I guess, at this point. Who knows?
All right, we've got a special guest coming up at the bottom of this half hour, Dr. Roger Davis, who is the president of Beaver County Community College. And you say they're doing some amazing things.
They have been. Dr. Davis and his team have really, you know, ramped up a number of years ago, not just recently. They were a big part of when the cracker plant came around a decade or so ago, and they began that process. The training that Dr. Davis and his team ramped up to get people ready for this new industry. And he's going to talk about some of the great things that they're doing, some of the agility agreements that they have with Penn State, where kids can matriculate from community college on over. I think we've really seen over the last few years how important our community colleges are as the four-year universities of cost and debt and people worried about that, you know, and how that's all working for families to be able to afford the education and the things that they need to do. You know, we saw a lot of stories come out. You know, the airport continues adding Iceland Air, more flights there, more with British Airways, more freight and cargo, things that are really happening around. And I heard you know, with Patrick Murphy, former Congressman Murphy before, talking about the nuclear reactor potentially coming back online at Three Mile Island. The energy needs, and we saw that when I took my team to Washington last week, there's a lot of interest in what we're doing here.
Yeah, and especially because, as I understand it, a lot of this artificial intelligence requires a lot of energy, too.
An immense amount of energy. And guess where there's more energy than any place in the country? Right here in our own backyard. That's so we're sitting in a pretty good place.
All right, more coming up. Rich Fitzgerald on the Big K Morning Show. And we continue our conversation. Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. Bridges. We have more bridges than any city on earth.
We love our hillsides. We love our rivers and our valleys. But that means you got to build a lot of bridges, and bridges are expensive to maintain. So, you know, our friends to the west of us in Ohio and Indiana and places with flat lands don't have those costs. But there, last year, a story that just came out the other day showed that Pennsylvania fixed more bridges, improved more poorly conditioned bridges than any state in the nation last year. So some of those infrastructure dollars that we saw happen a couple years ago when the infrastructure bill passed, that we knew was going to come to Pennsylvania because of Pennsylvania's importance politically, is starting to pay off.
Is American Bridge still a big factor? I mean, who's doing this kind of work these days?
There's a lot of contractors that are out there doing that. Pittsburgh is still the bridge capital of the country. In fact, the International Bridge Conference every year happens in Pittsburgh. They come every summer to the convention center, and you'll have, I think it's about 1,500 engineers and contractors from around the world that come here to learn best practices, share ideas. So there's an awful lot. We're a strong engineering and contractor infrastructure community. There's a lot of folks doing that.
And you introduced us to the robotics community, and a lot of people don't realize they've heard of it, but how prevalent it is and how important as part of the fabric of the community, especially for the technology moving forward.
It really is. And we had Jen Episella from the Pittsburgh Robotics Network on a couple of weeks ago, and they've got a huge robotics expose coming at the convention center in early November. We're going to bring her back. We might even think about maybe doing something remotely that day. It is one of the most, all the 1,000 people demonstrating different robots that do so many different things. We are the capital of the world. There's also a big AI conference coming here that Bakery Square and the folks are having next in a couple of weeks. Governor Shapiro is actually coming into town for that. So between AI and robotics, Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh region were poised. And again, we talked about energy earlier, having that natural gas.
Right.
It's like having the ace in the hole.
And the mention of nuclear suddenly, what does that mean for Westinghouse?
I think it means there's going to be more interest, more contracts, more work coming for Westinghouse. When people talk about AI, they talk about three sources of energy needed. And the three sources are nuclear, gas, and coal. We understand that coal probably isn't going to be the way of where it's going to happen. But the other two, gas and nuclear, are the way you've got to power this enormous amount of energy, electrical energy, that's required to run AI. The sustainables, the solar and wind, which are great, just don't have enough of the capacity to be able to bring the type of energy that AI needs, the kind of gigawatts that are needed and megawatts that are needed. So we're going to see a lot of that, but it's going to happen right here. And it's happening not just at CMU and Pitt. It's happening at places like the Beaver County Community College, IUP, W&J, places within our region. And a lot of this work that's going to happen is not going to happen in Allegheny. It's going to happen in Fayette County, in Greene County, Lawrence.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
County, Beaver County.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission encompasses 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh.
Right.
So that's a real force.
It is, and we were on the Allegheny Conference. I mentioned that last week they have their annual visit to Washington, D.C. to visit our elected officials, and having 11 elected officials, 6 Democrats, 5 Republicans, all working together, going to visit Congressman Kelly and Congresswoman Lee, Congressman DeLuzio, Senator Casey, et cetera, talking about jobs, talking about infrastructure. I wish I could have had people watching.
It's encouraging.
There weren't fights about some of the things we see on TV. It was really about how do we make Western Pennsylvania work for the families that we have here.
So they were greeted, I'm sure, in Washington by our elected officials of both parties.
Right.
Understanding that we need each other to make these things happen. So the mission, what is the mission for the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission again?
To improve the economic climate of Southwestern Pennsylvania, to continue to build out our infrastructure in a way that improves our quality of life, making it safer, making it more efficient, making it more economical, and to be able to be a place that not only retains our young people, but attracts more people, quite frankly, including immigrants.
You shared something with me last week that I've been thinking about since, and that is we talked about the job availability in the region at one point being somewhere around 50,000, but that number has been reduced substantially in the last couple of years.
It has, and we've seen more people returning to work for whatever reason we see it happening. We also see, as you mentioned last week, more people going back to the office. Amazon obviously making their big announcement, but other companies more quietly encouraging or actually imploring their workers to come back more days a week to the office, to the workplace. We're still trying to figure out, I think, that balance that people have become used to in the post-COVID world, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, I talked to Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey this week on Monday, and one of the things that he said that resonated with me was, it's never going to go back to exactly the way it was when. There's still always going to be a hybrid opportunity for people, which is attractive in many ways. But it's also important, if you can, to have that personal interaction. I think that's important, too, when you're in a company.
There's no question. It's a real mix. And I know in your industry, you could certainly do this remotely in some ways, right?
We have the technology.
You have the technology
now
to do it. But Rich, during COVID, you guys came in. Every day.
We were the only station of the five. We have 5 radio stations here in Odyssey, Pittsburgh. And for a full year, all the other stations were working remotely. There was nobody in here. It was almost surreal, like a post-apocalyptic thing. But we had to come in here, as I understand, because KDK is the FEMA, the National Broadcast Emergency Radio Station in the region. So they wanted it manned. And we didn't know at the time where we were going with all this. But I spent a year in here basically by ourselves. But now, even now, some of our team members who aren't on the air, they have a hybrid schedule about being in the office.
And there are some jobs that you definitely can do remotely that you can do with technology. You know, you're doing a lot of computer work and a lot of work on your screen and telecommunication, et cetera. However, I agree with you. There's nothing like being in a workplace where you're kind of learning the culture, you're learning the ways of somebody who's done it, maybe made some mistakes, maybe done had some success. And it's not the official meetings. I've always said it's those kind of unofficial when you're walking down the hall, going to get a cup of coffee or going to the water station, right, et cetera, that you learn a lot of things that you couldn't do at home.
We're going to talk about workforce, and we're going to talk to the president of Beaver County Community College coming up next on the Big K Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, and our special guest via our video. Rich, you talk about new technology. You can see our guests, many of them on the radio, if you go to kdkradio.com and our video stream. And we welcome the president of the Beaver County Community College, Dr. Roger Davis. Good morning, Doc.
Morning, Good Dr. Morning. Davis.
I see
Good morning,
you.
Mr. Larry.
And when you talk about new technology, cutting-edge technology, the Community College of Beaver County and Dr. Davis represent a lot of that. Dr. Davis, tell us about what the great things about Beaver County Community College and some of the things that are happening there.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we're very excited. CCBC is one of the 15 community colleges in the state of Pennsylvania. We are considered the third smallest community college, but I always say we're doing some of the biggest things. Right now, we have just opened up a new site in Washington County with IU1, the first intermediate unit in Pennsylvania, and we call it the Washington County College Center.
Well, one of the things, and I'm glad you bring that up, because not every county has a community college. In Washington County, which is a fairly large-sized county, did not have access to a community college. And the fact that you've expanded, and again, a lot of the success that you have had, and you had a tour a couple of months ago, County Commissioner Jack Manning took many of us from around the region on a tour of some of the innovative things that you are doing, the partnership you have with not just Shell, and how instrumental you were in getting the workers trained for the Shell cracker plant, but so many of the innovative programs that you have that are getting people choices to have career choices to make their lives better. Talk about some of the programs that you have that people can avail themselves to in this region.
Well, we have the gamut from aviation to health sciences, criminal justice, STEM. We have the Mascaro construction program, education. But I think I'm very excited, even in Washington College County Center, we have aviation. And we have high school students there right now taking aviation classes. They're arriving right about now. And what's so interesting to me, you can fly a plane before you can get a driver's license. And that is what is so exciting. We have young people that start at the age of 15 or 16, and you can be a first captain by the time you're like 24, 25. And there is no faster track to that than coming through our institution.
And the need in that industry for employment as people are retiring, I know they're getting jobs away. You're not coming out of that program and waiting around. You're graduating on a Saturday and starting to work on a Monday.
With a bonus, with a very large bonus, by the way, just to sign on. And so those are some of the exciting opportunities we have. Our nursing program is still very, very strong at the institution. I'm very excited that this fall we just opened Vet Tech at our campus in Beaver County. And so we're one of the few Vet Tech programs in the Western Pennsylvania region. And we hope to bring Vet Tech, in fact, to Washington County next fall. So that's just one of the exciting things.
I always appreciate the support for the men and women who have served us and their families, too. And there, I think, Rich, you probably know this, we have a high and per capita number of people who have served.
One of the highest, if not the highest, in the country in southwestern Pennsylvania. Going back throughout our history. You also have, you know, for people that worry about the cost of college and the cost of higher mm-hmm. education for their children, the matriculation agreements you have with Penn State and some of the other institutions, talk about that and the value that to spend a year or two at the community college before you might go on to something beyond that.
Yes, we have premier partners, we always say, and we're working with our premier partners all the time, trying to get them to do a few things. One, to lower the price. For example, RMU accepts the first 12 credits in their gateway program at the cost of the community college that the student is coming from. That's very innovative. We have a 1+2+1 with Geneva College. So a student starts 1 year there, comes 2 years here for our nursing, gets their ABN and goes back and ends up with a bachelor's of science in nursing. It's priced right. We also just signed an articulation with Penn State Beaver for various programs. And so we're keeping our premier partners because our primary goal is, one, we want our students to stay in Western Pennsylvania. We want them to secure employment here in Western Pennsylvania. And we believe that the students that work between our institutions, the community colleges, and the four-year institutions, they stay in Pennsylvania and they have a great life, a living wage to support their families and their communities.
The other thing, and when Larry and I were talking about this earlier, not to get political, because I know you don't want to, and I certainly don't want to, but we do remember 4 years ago, when a certain candidate running for president, who is now the president, where did he begin his very last rally? At the Community College of Beaver County.
Of Beaver County, and you know, really,
the center of the universe.
Stressful. It was very stressful because they called 7 days before he was coming, and the college really turned everything we could do. We did everything we could do to make it a safe, great visit, and it was incredible visit to have President Biden here on the campus the day before the election.
Well, I appreciate the work you're doing in our community. Thank you so much, President Davis.
Thank you.
Congratulations, President Davis, on all your success, and let us know what you need, and we'll continue to work with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got it. That is President of CCBC, Community College of Beaver County, Roger Davis on the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald wrapping up our hour every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. The Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission joins us. Rich, I was thinking about, you heard talk about the draft again this week.
Yep.
About the investment because of what the return could be economically in the
immense
impact of that.
Immense return,
it's
yes.
huge. But I thought, what a light that shines on our city and will, like it did in Detroit last year.
Yes.
And they're trying to reinvent themselves and apparently have done some really good things there. How valuable is the window that we're going to get with that draft in two Aprils?
It's amazing, first of all, with the NFL turning a draft, which used to be just a kind of a back office type of thing years ago, to become the spectacular that it is. And the fact that hundreds of thousands of people will descend upon Pittsburgh, and the eyes of the nation will be on, obviously, the players and the teams, but there will be a lot of showcasing that goes on of the city to be able to show off all the industry, the robotics, and the things that have changed about Pittsburgh. I'm sure a lot of it will be down in and around the stadium, Point State Park, where they'll be having the celebrations. But it really will give us a chance to shine on what Southwestern Pennsylvania is. And when you think again about football, the history going back to the great, you know, Hall of Famers from Marino to Unitas to Namath, et cetera, Montana. You know, just the history of what we have been. It's going to be an exciting time. And look, sports is coming back. You think about the volleyball team at Pitt, number one in the country with Dan Fisher, and they've done a great big game last week with the number one versus number three, Pitt versus Penn State. We're in a good spot right now in some of our sports.
The football team is 4-0, first time in a quarter of a century.
An undefeated September between our pro and college teams. You can't do any better than that.
And Penn State's undefeated too, and top 10 ranked.
Exactly.
So, you're a sports fan in this town right now. It's been a lot of fun.
You're doing okay. Again, we talk about the weather. Let's hope October's as good as September.
All right, Rich, always good to see you. We'll check in next Wednesday.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good week.
Rich Fitzgerald on the Big K Morning Show.
Offensively, we didn't start with the level of fluidity that I would like. We got to get that solved and get it solved quickly. I think particularly at the early stages of the season, as you pursue and attain victory, you better continually work on the things that could be troublesome for you as you continue through the journey. And lack of fluidity in our starts, three and outs and things of that nature just doesn't tee us up to play the type of ball that we desire to play.
Did you get all that? Did you write that all down? Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin yesterday as he faced the media horde. One of those, our own Odyssey sports director, Jeff Hathoon, who joins us on our video vMix. You can see Jeff on the radio at kdkradio.com. Jeff, good morning.
Morning, Larry. Yes, I was a part of that horde. Yes.
We need fluidity, apparently, but...
Well, you know, there are many days when I start my day, I need fluidity, and it's not there the way it should be. So... It's kind of interesting how he's just playing it. I'm not going to oversell Justin. I'm going to leave the door a little bit ajar for Russell. Not going to give too much compliments. I'm going to give enough, but I'm not going to give too much. It's just Mike's pretty good at that stuff.
Yeah, and I know he talked for a full half hour yesterday. When your football team in the NFL is 3-0 to start the season, two road games, and then you're going back on the road. That's really impressive, and one of only five teams already that don't have a blemish.
Well, what's impressive to me, Larry, is they're 3-0 without their starting quarterback. I mean, Russell Wilson might be the starter the rest of the year. I don't think that right now, but technically they're doing it with their backup quarterback, and you said a couple of games on the road. And maybe Atlanta and Denver, based on other results that they've had, aren't that bad. So it's not like they beat two of the worst teams in the league. Now, who knows how this turns out? That's why at the beginning of the year, with a few exceptions of teams you know are going to be really good, some of these schedule predictions about having the toughest schedule in the year, rarely does the team that have the toughest schedule in the year to start have the toughest schedule as it ends up. Because teams deal with things throughout a season, and teams you think are going to be good aren't. And, I mean, look at Cincinnati. They're 0-3.
What a surprise that is. And the fact that the Ravens have underperformed, and Cleveland keeps finding ways. Well, of course, they got to win, but, man, they don't look like a complete team that's going to be able to really compete either. So, right now, I know it's early, but the division is really up for grabs, and there weren't too many experts that gave the Steelers even a hint of a chance.
No, a lot of them had them in last place. And again, it's three games in. A lot of stuff's going to happen. But, I mean, you've had three games, you won three games, and there's things to work on. And for us in the talk business, there's stuff to talk about. So it hasn't been a flawless three games. Listen, there are areas across, and they're dealing with some injuries. But what this team has figured out how to do early on is stay resilient and find ways to win. And at the end of the day, that's the only stat that matters.
They're on the road Sunday in Indianapolis. That team's playing well. And then back home for a Sunday.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Sunday night game against the Dallas Cowboys, and they've had their issues. So, as Mike Lang would say, the turkey's on the table for this Steelers team.
Now, this is a little different situation with Indy. Not only are you going back on the road, it's the first time you're facing a mobile quarterback. So that'll be a new challenge for this defense to see how they handle it. It's good to hear from Mike Tomlin yesterday that Najee Harris is going to be good because Indy has the worst rushing defense in the AFC, at least through three games. So you want to be able to run the ball. You don't know about Jalen Warren yet. But, yeah, I mean, if you can slow down what Anthony Richardson can do with his legs and one of the best tailbacks, again, they're facing, and Jonathan Taylor, I feel good about that. And then Dallas, man, Dallas, you just don't know. They've got all this talent, and they just can't seem to put it together week in, week out.
Let's talk about the Pirates for just a moment, because social media blew up last night when it was revealed that Rowdy Tellez, who overall has underperformed given the entire season, slow start, he got hot, but he's four at-bats away from an incentive of $200,000 in his contract, and he got sent down, or whatever you call it, and
right.
Fans are going nuts over this.
Well, immediately they point to the Pirates being cheap and saving money. Listen, the optics are not good. I'll tell you what Ben Cherington told us, that had nothing to do with the decision, that it was more about bringing two guys up from the minors, and they released him and Michael A. Taylor so they could get a look at these two guys. It's hard to argue with the fact that why not keep the guy one more game, allow him four at-bats, and he collects, you know, he passes go and collects his $200,000. Now, that being said, Rowdy Tellez was batting like 115 in September, so it's not like they released a productive player. They released a player that was horrid the first 2 months and was really bad the last month of the season. So the bigger problem with Rowdy Tellez is that they signed him in the first place. That was the bigger mistake. They should have gotten a better first baseman.
Jeff Hathorn, you got time to stick around for a little more conversation. Absolutely. Well, I want to talk about college football. How about those Panthers and the Nittany Lions undefeated too? And how about Pitt Sports with the women's volleyball team, number one in the nation, coming up on the Big K Morning Show? With Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn. And just to put a footnote on our conversation about Rowdy Tellez of the Pittsburgh Pirates, manager Derek Shelton said this.
Well, I think we wanted to get Peggy and Palacios. You know, the way the minor league season ends, where you only have 6 days left, is a little bit challenging. And now the fact that we can only go to 28, I mean, this isn't like 4 or 5 years ago where everybody on your 40-man roster could be here. And unfortunately, in a situation like this, we wanted to get a couple younger players that, you know, we think are going to be part of our future up here, and it came at the expense of two veteran professional guys.
So a couple more games with the Brewers, and then finish the season, Jeff, in New York against the Yankees, and then it's over for the year. So as we get ready.
Yeah, one more start for Paul Skeens. Friday they face Gerrit Cole. What a cool opportunity for all these young guys to go to Yankee Stadium the last weekend of the season. That'll be kind of awesome for them, a way to finish and hopefully find some inspiration for next year.
And the Penguins are back on ice, kind of crept up on a lot of people with the preseason game against Buffalo. The scores in those, like most preseason games, don't really matter because the superstars don't play. If they do, not for long, right?
Yeah, well, how this works, they'll play in probably one game out of six, because, you know, here's what's different about hockey is you kind of set your lineup. So you can't roll guys in for half the game or you know, bring guys in the third period. So they'll go for, you know, a game probably at the end of training camp, the end of the preseason games. But yeah, it's crazy because they start their camp and within days they're playing games. Whereas in football, you start the camp, it's a couple of weeks, then they work a game in. But man, NHL, it's like you better come ready because you got a couple practices and you're going right in games.
There was a moment at the Steelers game right before kickoff where you go down to the field and you had a couple of celebrities there run out of the tunnel with their terrible towels, and three-time Stanley Cup champions Chris Letang wearing a Jack Lambert 58 jersey. And Evgeny Malkin, who's number 71, was wearing a 43 for Troy Polamalu. He said he was his favorite player. That was a moment. Malkin said he was nervous about coming out in Acrisure there.
It looked like he was having a lot of fun and really enjoying the moment and seeing – And I've these guys, I believe, have been to games before. Not a lot, but they've been to games. But this is the first time they've done this. So, that yeah, that's pretty cool to see them kind of get to be a fan.
Yeah,
because it's always cool on the other side where the fans are cheering stuff they do.
Yeah, you know, it was a cool idea for, you know, the Steelers to do that too as the Penguins get ready for their season. Who knows what to expect from this team this year, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of variables. I mean, you've got still got the big three, still got Erik Karlsson, Tristan Jarry is still the goalie. You're kind of waiting, can this team take the next step? Here's the issue, and I think it's a similar one with the Steelers. I think the Penguins are still a good team, but there's so many other good teams around them. That's more the issue than their performance, is that everyone else has gotten so much better. It is a tough road in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, they've had stretches over the last couple of years, but not been consistent enough. And they need to find something, some kind of consistency. And the scary thing with the Penguins is the last 2 years they've had Crosby and Malkin healthy for all the games. So something has to change. Some of these new moves, some of the youth has to step up. They need more production from third and fourth lines. And they need their defense to be a little bit tighter than what it's been.
All right, Jeff Hathorn, what about college football? Let's start with the Panthers, because I don't think anybody saw this team being 4-0. They have a bye this weekend and go on to ACC play in North Carolina. They got into a wild shootout. They lost 70-50 last week. So there's opportunity there. But the key has been their redshirt freshman quarterback transfer from Alabama, Eli Holstein. For the fourth week in a row, he is the ACC Rookie of the Week. I'm not sure I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, he's been, what an amazing start for him. And you come into the season, you don't know who your quarterback is. They make a week of game decision and go with Eli, and then Eli has just taken the ball and owned it. They really like him. He's a guy who owns up to his own mistakes. He's really bonded with this team. And it's a weird schedule. They've got the noon game at North Carolina next week. So because of a noon game, you got to keep the little hat at the hotel room. And then they only have two other games the entire month. They've got that, you know, big ACC matchup with Cal and then Syracuse for the night game.
Yeah, for those that don't know, when they expanded the ACC conference, they included California. So that'll be new. And they have some fun opportunities on the road, too, down at SMU later as we get into the end part. It's hard to believe, Jeff. We're a third of the way through the regular season for college football.
And Larry, quickly, it's the same thing for Penn State. I mean, they get ranked Illinois at home, then they get UCLA at home, and then they go on the road to USC and to Wisconsin. So October is kind of that prove-it month for Penn State as well.
All right, Jeff, always appreciate your input. Thank you, partner.
Thanks, Larry.
That's our Odyssey sports director, Jeff Hathorn, the hardest working man in sports. This is the Big K Morning Show. Boy, it's kind of dreary out. Not kind of dreary, it is dreary out. This heavy rain does gum up the works. Looks like it's going to be raining here for the rest of the morning rush anyway. Thanks for choosing us. And every other Wednesday, we check in with the president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, Carlos T. Carter. Carlos, good morning.
Good morning on this bring your own sunshine kind of day. I say on days like this, you got to bring your own sunshine. So we got to bring our own sunshine today.
I'm with you. So are you going to bring us some sunshine today?
Absolutely. Hope you'll feel it through our talk today.
Yeah. You want to talk about the late Teeny Harris, who a lot of people knew who he was and know his name. Why is it so important for people to know the history of Teeny Harris?
Well, you know, Teeny Harris, they often call him One-Shot Harris because, like, I think film was expensive and he just took one shot, but really had a unique ability to connect with his subjects, was very talented but very humble. But he really, I think, humanized black people. You know, even now you see black people, Haitians and other, referred to in ways that are less human. And so he showed the triumphs, the joy, the pride. You know, he did funerals, political events, but really showed black life and, I think, humanized us in a very powerful way. And he actually captured my in-laws in his one book, One Shot Harris. And And so they're actually part of that history among the other 80,000 photos. But again, his ability to connect, I think it was one of the largest collections of urban black life. He had over 80,000 images. And it's actually archived at the Carnegie Museum of Art. But I think this is Billy, again, to capture unique moments of humanizing everyday black people and showing the span of our humanity.
What would be the best way to see the works of Charles Tini Harris?
Well, I know this actually, as I mentioned, his works are housed at the Carnegie Museum, so you could go there. They're actually at Carnegie Museum of Art. They're also online. And actually, this week on September 27th at 1:30 on Mulford Street in Homewood, again, September 27th at 1:30 at Mulford Street in Homewood, they're actually going to put a marker to recognize him, sponsored by the Pittsburgh Preservation, by Preservation Pittsburgh. But yeah, just say know about him. Look at his works, are pretty captivating, and you can feel like you're there and really connect with the people. But yeah, he's definitely one to remember and a great Pittsburgher.
Have you had a lot of inquiries about how to register to vote for people who may not have voted in the past? Are you finding more interest or less interest this year?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'd say people are starting to get excited, right? And so the Urban League is very involved working with the National Urban League. So we actually have canvassers that are going out there making sure people have a plan to vote. We have a lot of activities going on just to, you know, engage people, ask any questions. But I think there is a greater, incentive. People are starting to get energized, I think, around voting. I think people are starting to realize, you know, how important it is, because I know there were periods of apathy, especially with a lot of younger folks getting them to vote. But I think that's starting to change. But we'll see soon. But it's important, obviously, that people are informed, engaged in the process.
Yeah, and it is obviously, no matter who you're voting for, you got to count your vote. ULPGH.org is always a great resource. The Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, President and CEO, Carlos T. Carter. Carlos, so Tini Harris, everybody check out Tini Harris's work, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Coming up right after the news with Paul Rasmussen at the top of this hour, we're going to talk to the co-host of I'm Listening. This is a corporate-wide two-hour presentation tonight at 7 o'clock from Odyssey about mental health and awareness. It's the eighth time that we've been doing this, and it's been very important and successful in reaching a lot of people, and I want you to know about it because it could help you or somebody you know. I would imagine, Paul, we're going to get a lot of dissecting of this interim Senate report about the Secret Service issues July 13th in Butler.
Yeah, it enumerates in 94 pages some pretty surprising things. To summarize a couple of the first ones, Larry, there were Secret Service apparently chronic problems with their radios. And in fact, because of the failing radios that they had, the special agent in charge gave away his radio to another agent and went without one for the rest of the day. Can you imagine this? The lead agent in charge not having his own Secret Service radio.
And at the same time, you know, we heard a lot about where were the drones for surveillance. Mm-hmm. Well, the Secret Service's drone units had, quote, technical problems, so much so that at 4:43, the Secret Service employee operating the drone system had to call a toll-free helpline for support. The report notes the agent had only 3 months' experience working with that equipment and lacked knowledge about it.
That's quite honestly laughable that someone with that little experience would be given that kind of responsibility for such an important event. Their personnel were notified about a suspicious person 27 minutes before the shooting, but the lead service agent and other site officials told the panel they didn't receive that information.
And another alert about an individual on the roof of a building was sent by radio from a local law enforcement officer to the Secret Service 2 minutes before the shooting. This was followed by another alert that the individual was armed, but the message was, quote, not relayed to key Secret Service personnel.
And here's the capper. A counter-sniper interviewed by the Senate panel described seeing local law enforcement running toward the building where Crooks was positioned. They had their guns drawn, but he did not alert Trump's protective detail because it did not cross his mind to notify someone to get Trump off the stage. Now we know why they didn't pull him off.
And according to this report, counter-sniper teams were dispatched to Butler following credible intelligence of a threat. However, nearly all the Secret Service personnel that spoke to the committee said they were unaware of a potential threat.
So at the end of all of this, the guy who's running this committee, Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal, had an interesting quote on this. He says it was almost like an Abbott and Costello farce with who's on first finger pointing by all of the different actors. It was really truth being stranger than fiction.
And the committee issued several recommendations, including enhancing planning and coordination, underlying communication, and expanding intelligence assets and resources. It also suggested designated a single individual to approve the agency's security plan. So it really all falls on the Secret Service.
It sure does. And the two sentences to just jump out at me. It did not cross his mind to notify someone to get Trump off the stage, and an Abbott and Costello farce. Wow.
Yeah, and this is just the interim report. There'll be, I'm sure, more details to come.
Right, the House Task Force report will be coming out.
It's 94 pages. Again, to reiterate what Paul said, this will be much discussed today.